Yo, what's up?
You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.
And this is 2020.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Now.
How y'all doing?
Surviving.
Surviving, huh? So is that why you missed your last appointment?
This is Dr. Nazaruddin, an Iranian-American surgeon turned TV personality and author. He specializes in bariatric surgery. He's known for trying to help morbidly obese patients lose weight on the TLC reality TV series, My 600-Pound Life.
You just had your bypass about 2 months ago, and when you left the hospital, you were down to 546, so you lost only 9 pounds since then.
Dr. Now is talking to one of his bariatric patients named Lee. Lee sits in Dr. Now's office in an oversized chair with a camo hat on and bright green sunglasses on top. He sits on that oversized chair while leaning on a cane for support while his wife Renee sits next to him.
But Renee has lost almost 50 pounds at the same time, and she hasn't even had her bypass yet. What in the world is going on with you?
Amidst the awkwardness that is the dilemma that Lee now finds himself in, you either find yourself in a fight or flight mode. Let's find out what Lee does.
You think it's funny? You have a gastric bypass.
I had a gastric bypass,
Lose weight.
To lose weight.
And you're not losing weight.
I don't eat a third what I ate
just
before I had
the
that
question,
surgery.
Okay.
That you're asking me questions that I don't understand no more than you understand.
What are you talking about? You're choosing to overeat and you think it's okay?
No, I don't think it's okay at all.
So what is going on?
I guess I'm not eating the right things. I mean,
we gave you the instruction that you need to follow and you never follow it. You play your cards right until you got the surgery. And now you're playing this kind of game and you think that's okay?
I don't see how I'm playing any game. I throw up constantly. I eat what I can keep down.
That's how it works. You throw up constantly because the surgery forces you to when you overeat now.
I think my problem is I'm holding a lot of fluid. I can't hardly pee.
Really?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? And you think that you're not eating and you're getting
I don't want to get malnourished either.
Do you look like you're malnourished?
Dr. Now's plan requires a shock to your system. The cold turkey treatment is meant to alter physical and psychological treatments. And the big question is, how effective is something like this? And how receptive would you be to this? We all can admit that we really have these issues with weight or with food, right? They're little different issues and we all counter those things. So what is reasonable? For that, I wanted to share an interview that I did with Allison. Allison's been on the show before. She's a registered nurse. While she doesn't hold any degree in nutrition, I felt like she had learned and practiced enough to be able to share some insight. We're sitting in an open concept kitchen. One of the things that I knew I wanted you to talk about was your whole diet thing.
Right.
Right. So I don't want to say diet because of the bad connotation that brings up.
It does.
But when we're talking about that, we're really talking about changing.
Lifestyle. Lifestyle change.
Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
Right.
And I started that sentence and didn't know where I was going. But what was the main thing that kicked it off for you, though?
Right. So, well, first, I want to say that this is like something I'm very passionate about because I feel like it's something very important that people need to know, because what kicked it off for me was how I felt. And I know that there's other people who feel this way. And it's just getting to that point where you feel like enough is enough. Mm-hmm. You have no energy, you have, no nutrients in your body to get you through the day, really. So I think it was just, it happened to be during January when I started, but it wasn't the whole new year, new me thing. that started it. It was just feeling like I need a change.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, yeah, energy, when you go really into adulthood of building a routine in your life, there are things and sacrifices that you feel like aren't worth it. So your lifestyle, your routine changes, and it becomes what's more convenient, because everything starts right. to circle around, you know, your requirements, circle around your jobs. You know, you have a job. Definitely. And so everything else revolves around that. There are certain requirements in your life or responsibilities that you really put first over. Yes.
Priorities. Yeah. Over yourself.
Yeah. Over yourself. Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I really, you know, just want to say, is that you should prioritize yourself, because I mean,
treat yourself.
Yes. Tom Haverford. Treat yourself. Take care of you, because nobody else going to.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. You know, we say that, but it makes a huge difference, and it's like, it's literally life changing.
Yeah. Well, and energy is a big thing, and that's the biggest thing. Like,
yeah,
personally, I feel, you know, one of the best words to describe it is sluggish.
Yes, definitely. And sluggish.
Yeah.
Sluggish. Adjective. Having no power to move oneself or itself.
What was your first step after you realized, hey, you know, I'm more tired, my energy's low?
Right. Yeah. Honestly, I started out doing it not the right way. I didn't do...
You mean like you were bulimic, you were throw up?
No. I went and I just did what I thought was right, mm-hmm. which I just started counting calories. And I started to just say, okay, this is the amount of calories I need to eat a day to lose weight. So I would do that, and I thought it was working and it might have helped a little bit, but I didn't start seeing results until I actually did my research. And so that's what I would say. First, you should do your research and really learn, because it is a lot to learn. I mean, it's not overwhelming, but you should.
So you started counting calories.
Yes.
And then you said that wasn't the right way.
Right.
So how long were you doing that before you figured that out?
I was probably doing it for like 1 or 2 weeks at the most.
Okay. So maybe 2 weeks of doing that.
Yes.
And then, so what stopped that?
I was still learning. So when I get into something, I get really like obsessed with it. And
I know this.
I get obsessed. So I was watching YouTube videos and just like looking up research, mm-hmm. and so I found out what I needed to do. And so this is something that I would tell everyone to do, which I started doing a low carb diet. And at first, that's what I called it. I wanted to say I'm doing a low carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to say keto, because I was very skeptical about keto.
Keto or ketosis. What does keto mean? When you burn fat, your fat breaks down into these things called ketones. Your body can then use those as fuel, okay? So your body can actually run in ketones. It's a much, much better fuel source than sugar fuel that most people run on.
I mean, if you look at the research, there's multiple health benefits to keto and intermittent fasting combined.
Intermittent fasting refers to eating plans that alternate between fasting and eating periods. The goal is to systematically starve the body long enough to trigger fat burning.
And so that's what I do every day. I do intermittent fasting and keto.
What's your intermittent fasting ratio?
It's not black and white, like you have to do it.
Yeah. So what's your routine?
So for me, on the days that I'm off, I don't eat at all until the late evening time, which it could be 6 p.m., it could be 9 p.m., it could be 10 p.m.
Okay. You being a nurse, you work 12-hour shifts.
Yes.
And so most days I know that you didn't even eat at work.
Right.
And that to me is mind-boggling.
Yes.
Like that would be... So like me working an 8-hour day, my my place of refuge, my solitude is my lunch break. And yeah. I can't imagine not doing a lunch break, and I can't imagine not eating on my lunch break.
Right. I understand
and,
that.
You know, and so that whole concept is, I just feel like there's no way I could do that. Now for you, that kind of came natural
right.
because you being a nurse, there's times, most days you never even had a lunch break.
Yeah. But you know, on days that I work, I still do take lunch breaks mm-hmm. and that's okay. I can eat at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. and be fine and mm-hmm. still get right back on my schedule. I still just limit the times that I'm eating for that day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's great. Now the, I was thinking about we talked about intermittent fasting and then the keto diet. So
right.
when did you come to fully accept that you were not doing a low carb, that you're doing keto?
Right. I kind of fought that idea in
my What are the
head.
Differences, I guess, with...
Right. I mean, there's no difference. Okay. I mean, keto is just one of the low carb diets. Okay. There's multiple low carb diets. That's one of them. So basically what keto is it's low carb, it's high fat, and... moderate amount of protein, and that's it.
Yeah.
So
okay, so Allison has changed so much since she has started this
yes
diet. Like, I am a witness to how much she has changed,
right?
How focused she is, but also how she's able to multitask and take on different things.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to get into that, some of that, but it was so interesting because when you can see the change in somebody over their energy level, over their focus, over their, even their passion that they take on as a result of having just more energy, it's pretty cool. So, we talked about intermittent fasting and now you started cooking, which you cooked some before, because I remember,
let's be honest.
I remember you cooking something before
yeah,
that I ate.
Right.
But
cooking.
So your cooking now, though, is so focused. Okay.
Right.
So, and you're even baking and stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So did that just start because you wanted to create meals for, you know,
yeah,
for your special?
Yeah. Basically, I wanted to still be able to eat the same kinds of things I was eating before. Mm-hmm. At times. So I just look up things on YouTube or different recipes online and it's there. I mean, whatever you want, you can look it up and it's there. And that's what's great about the internet. So yeah, that's why
it kind of flowed.
It just became a new hobby.
Yeah. A new hobby.
Yeah.
Your lifestyle. Now, so part of your diet though, is you cut out sugars, right?
Yes.
So sugar, I know, is bad. Like, nutritionally, sugars are like the worst thing.
Terrible.
They're like drugs, you know, to
it's
a normal
terrible.
Person.
And
yeah. just because your body is not meant to take sugar. It's just.
Right. I'm not going to go into all the details of that, but yeah, I could talk about that for a while, but.
Well, I want to talk about it because.
Okay.
Sugar is such a part of everybody's life. It's in things that
yeah.
it's probably in every meal. It's definitely going to be in every meal. It's
yeah.
almost in every single piece of food that you eat.
Yeah.
Every fruit obviously has, you know,
fructose,
a natural sugar in it,
yes.
you know, and that's a little different, but and so
but
on
it's
keto,
not.
There's
it's
no,
it's not different.
It's not.
No, fructose is terrible. I mean,
so, okay. So with keto, there is no fruit, right?
That's not necessarily true. You can have berries. You can limit certain fruits, you know, if you absolutely want to. The goal is to keep your carbs down. Like
yeah.
however
and
many.
So sugar is a carb.
Yeah. Every food has carbs in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
carbohydrates. So every food's gonna have it. You just have to limit it. You know.
Just limit the amount. So, okay, back to sugars, like nutritionally, and then also like when it comes to disease, it's linked to almost every disease. I mean, Right. I don't know if that's a scientific fact, but I'm just assuming it is. Okay. So that is such a dangerous chemical because it is a chemical in your body. It's most of the sugar that you eat is unnatural. Is that accurate?
Unnatural.
Well, I guess it...
Well, I mean, carbs break down into sugar.
Okay, so. Thanks for cleaning that up for me. and then, so I know that there are so many studies out there that say that if you limit your sugar, cut off sugar, and drastically change your diet, you can be free. I don't know if you can be cured completely, but that's probably possible.
Yeah.
By cutting out sugar.
Yeah.
I know diabetes... That can be changed and altered, if not completely
gone. Yeah, you can absolutely, if you have type 2 diabetes, you can cure yourself from it by doing keto and intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do it easily.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Because it tastes so dang good.
But you, that's the thing.
Okay, let's get into this. All right. Okay. So I know what she's about to jump into.
Yes.
And this is a point that turns off most people.
It is.
Because our diet is so saturated. Such a good word to use.
But
sugar. Just automatically went there. Sugar.
Yes.
And so that things without sugar, we immediately can taste a difference.
Yes.
And so you have changed up your diet so much and started baking and cooking for yourself that these things... that with sugar gone, you've taken up natural sweeteners.
Yes.
Not natural. I don't know if that's a wrong word, but.
Yeah. So, yes, it is. So,
if I tasted something that she made.
I just want to say
go ahead.
That I was the biggest consumer of sugar of them all, you know? So, yeah, if I can do this, anyone can learn to like these natural sweeteners.
Yeah.
So I don't want that to dissuade anyone.
Yeah.
But
I believe it. If you cut out sugar, I know that even within a week, because you do have sugar withdrawals too, right? There are withdrawals, certain withdrawals you can have. I know with caffeine.
Yeah. If you consume it a lot. Yeah. Like if you're drinking a ton of sodas a day, I'm sure you'll have headaches and stuff like that.
And maybe that's not all just sugar, but.
Yeah.
So you're just the biggest sugar taker in that. Even you,
if I can
have been able to
give this up and learn to like new things, and I mean, I use there's so many different natural sweeteners out there that are keto approved, like they're fine to do.
So she has, for instance, eaten a lot of frosting that she would make for a cake.
Yes. And I just sat there and just ate a whole thing of frosting.
This is so good. I feel like it's too sweet. And I would taste it and I was like,
it was so sweet.
It's not sweet. It's not the sweet I know.
Yeah. Well, so it does take time to transition. You know, I've been doing this for a couple months now, but so I think if you give it a week or two, just, you know,
wean yourself off.
But I wouldn't go so fast too soon into it, because that's what I did, and you know it ended up fine in the end, but you can avoid a lot of you can avoid a lot of things by just going slow, and that's the way that they recommend. So what you should do if you want to do intermittent fasting and keto is mainly intermittent fasting is what I'm talking about here. So you do 3 meals a day. That's what you start with. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No snacks in between. And that's a form of intermittent fasting. And then you go down to two meals a day and no snacks. And then eventually you can just do one, or you can keep it at two. It doesn't matter. So, definitely go slow. And the longer you do it and the longer you're eating, you know, more whole foods and things like that, the more that you will learn to love it. And the sweeteners, the natural sweeteners, like I use erythritol, which is in Swerve, and that's the main one I use. But shout out to Swerve, the real MVP. So and now it's it's almost too sweet for me. So.
Yeah. And so what's your favorite thing to make keto friendly?
Oh man, I made something last night that was so good. This was a dessert. It was a chocolate molten lava cake.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
okay. I made that.
Did you share that on Instagram?
I didn't share it, no. No, but...
So her favorite dessert, and I remember this because she reminded me last night.
Yes, I did.
But she said, okay, so the favorite, your favorite dessert is the molten lava cake from...
From Applebee's. Yes.
And so you made a keto version of that.
Yes. And I said to you, what did I say? I cannot tell the difference. If you were to blindfold me and I was to taste both of them, it would be the same.
Okay. It's highly inaccurate because you would be basing it off of what you tasted with Applebee's at that time. But now that you don't know what that tastes like anymore.
I guess. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's what it is. It probably is.
But for you, there's no difference.
No, there's regardless. No difference. It's so good.
You're treating yourself just as well in your case by eating this dessert than you
were. I feel
back then.
Like almost guilty eating it, even though I know it has like only a few net carbs. Yeah. So
yeah. So you bought, what was the new blender that you bought? What kind was that?
Oh yeah.
Was it Instant Pot blender or something?
Yeah, Instant Pot blender.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this woman has been going crazy.
Oh my goodness.
With this
anything
new...
I can get my hands on or afford, I'm like, yes, I need that blender in my life. And so I use it to make my green smoothies now.
Grain smoothies?
Green
smoothies.
Yeah, green. So, just put a little of the, kale and...
This is madness.
Spring mix. That's what it's called, right? Yeah. Put some... Yeah.
Yeah, she has... you have Ziplocs. In your freezer.
In my freezer of the washed greens that I, cut up and everything. And they're frozen, so I can use them for my smoothies. Yeah. And I'm the kind of person who I don't like salads. Mm-hmm. I never liked salads. So this is a perfect way for me to get my greens in. I just drink them in a smoothie.
Yeah. Spaghetti. Okay, yes. So I make this thing. I love spaghetti, and my Aunt Michelle introduced me to this thing called meschetti, which is spaghetti but with beef smokies chopped up and fried and put into it.
Okay, so you do chop them up.
I love it.
That makes
like,
more sense.
Okay.
That makes more sense because I was just picturing you just throwing them in there like fully.
That sounds so weird.
That sounds
boiling
really
the
weird.
Sauce, no. It would be, I cut them up, fry them, and then I put them in the, gotcha. Which I don't know if that's how she makes them, but that's where I got that. And I was like, this is so good. And so that's where I started doing it. Then, making a pot of spaghetti for like just me was just so much. And I didn't mind like reheating it over a day, maybe 2 days, but it was just too much. And so I started to, decided that I would reduce some of the carbs I was intaking, and two, in an effort to reduce some of the largeness of the meal, the ratio of the meal.
Yeah, just leave
I would
the
just
noodles
eliminate
out.
The noodles.
Right.
So spaghetti for me is without noodles now.
Right.
And so and
you
I've
were
talked
doing
to you about
that before.
That.
Yeah, because you were doing that before.
Yeah, I've done that for a long time.
Yeah, you've done that for a long time before I started, and before I had started doing this diet, I thought that was so weird. Like, how can you have spaghetti without the noodles? And now I do it, and it's great, and I don't care. I'm like,
So you don't do the way I do, which is with the Smokies, and that's probably the only difference.
Right.
But yeah, even right now I have, we're doing this on my, what is this thing? Butcher Block, Kitchen Island. Okay. So, and I have like some groceries here just randomly. They're not for this podcast or anything. I just didn't clean up.
Some spaghetti sauce right here.
But yeah, so this jar of spaghetti sauce, it's Ragu, which is my nickname for some people. But
that's why you like it.
No, that's not why. I like it because it tastes good.
Yeah.
Mama's Special Garden Sauce. Some tomato sauces are too sweet.
Right.
Some are...
For a reason.
Yeah. Some have mushrooms in it, and I hate that.
Or sugar.
And then, and so there's, like, different reasons. And so this one has, like, has like vegetables or whatever, like half a serving, 1.5 servings. Yeah. Anyway, so I probably eat this over the course of 2 days normally, like not this sauce, but like spaghetti. And I always thought that even though I was counting noodles, or I was not counting noodles, that it was still a high carb meal based on just that, because of the tomato sauce, which does have carbs in it, but it's kind of better, right, for you?
It is, but I would still go.
It's 15 grams per serving.
Yeah, I would still go with a low carb if I could. There's so a low carb pasta sauce. Yes, pasta a really sauce. Good.
I'm just kidding.
A really good low carb option for spaghetti sauce is Rao's, the brand Rao's. Mm-hmm.
How is that spelled? Let me write it down.
It's spelled Rao'S. And they have Alfredo sauce too. I think they have, a couple other things. I really like to shop at Sprouts. They sell it there. Mm-hmm. They sell it at Target. But I think it has only like 6 grams of carbs. But I think the net carbs is like only 4. So
what's net carbs versus?
It's just subtracting the fiber from the grams of carbs.
So this pasta sauce, spaghetti sauce, total carbs 15. You're saying you take out the 2 dietary fiber carbs?
Right, so it'd be 16 grams. Huh? So it'd
be 15.
Oh, 15. Okay, so that would be 13, yeah.
All right, so then, okay. So now I know how I can subtract.
So now we know how to add, subtract, and
well, now I know that everything I eat can be, you can actually take away some carbs from that. Dietary carbs. So dietary carbs are the carbs that you're going to poop out. Is that how that works?
So, everyone's a little different. Some people only subtract half of the
fiber.
Of the fiber. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because everyone's body is a little different. So you just have to figure out what works best for you, what amount of carbs you are going to intake in a day.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay, we talked about that for a minute. Now, let's switch gears and talk about your green thumb.
I wouldn't go that far yet.
So, you've taken this... One of your new hobbies are plants.
Yes.
Not just
love them.
Yeah. Mostly for aesthetic purposes, but no, I'm just kidding. But your plants, you've been sharing a lot of pictures of those.
Yeah, they're my children.
Plant mom.
Yeah.
And then your mom said...
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was texting my mom and I was on the phone with her. FaceTiming her, and I was showing her all of my my new plants. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, these are all my plant babies. So I go to hang up with her, and she's like, bye, this is Plant Grandma. And I just busted out laughing. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
So, how many plants do you have now? Do you even know?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I know. I think it might be maybe 16.
16?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It might be less. I don't know.
Do you have names for your plants? Please say no.
Not.
I'm giving you an out right now.
No, not really. I've kind of thought about it. I've kind of named one of them, but no.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What's your name for one of them?
Oh, one of them I named Camille because that's like... a part of the plant name.
Okay, that's what I was hoping you were going to say. That it's just like a short nickname.
It's just kind of like a nickname. Yeah, and that's kind of what I've done, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's healthy.
That's fine, right? That's totally normal.
No, we're good. So, yeah, and then you have... name a couple of your plants.
Oh, like what they're called?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. Okay, so
I know you have a snake plant.
I do have a snake plant.
And that's the only one that
that's the only one you know. With.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a really cool one. It's a watermelon peperomia. and it looks like the leaves on it look like watermelon. You know, there's mm-hmm. all kinds of peperomias, but this happens to be a watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
As
one does.
Yeah, you know the peperomia. I have another peperomia that's not, it's a different kind. I don't remember which kind right now, but... Oh,
they're not listening right now.
So, I'm sorry. So I have two kinds of those, and then I have, I have a heart-shaped fern. So that's really cute. I like
that. Is new. No,
it's newer. Okay. Yeah. I just really like any kind of heart-shaped plants, leaves.
Okay.
And one of my newest ones. Is I have a fiddle leaf fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really trendy at the moment. But trendy. I've been wanting it since before.
Allison sends me pics, yes. Or shares posts on Instagram all day. She probably sends me at least 10 a day of
not that
either a meme or plants.
Yeah, and I do send a lot of.
And I was looking at them the other day, and I was like, "These are all different. These are all posts from different people. These aren't like this post from like one person she follows for plants. She's like following multiple people to get all this."
I do follow multiple people, but also, you know how you can just get on the search page and just scroll.
Oh,
and okay, so okay. It's not necessarily all people I'm following, but I am following some.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it is very trendy, isn't it? I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, the fig.
No, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that there were Instagram pages devoted to...
Oh, yeah. There's tons of
I mean, it makes sense. There's Instagram for everything. Yeah. Animals, yeah, kids. Yeah, anything. Why not? You know, but I don't know. That whole world is crazy to me. And I always thought of like this crazy... like cat lady kind of vibe, I thought. But then I was like, oh, wait, they actually make these things look good. And then you repot them.
Yes.
So you take them home from the store and then you repot them into another pot or because they come in like plastic temporary containers, right?
Yeah. And I wouldn't immediately repot them all the time.
Are you saying you let them get used to the environment first?
Well, especially if you got them from a nursery and they might have already like recently been, you know, like fertilized and different things.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go through that whole process again and like end up killing it. Yeah. It doesn't like too much trauma. So, and also another thing is you should never repot into a pot bigger than 2 inches than the one it was in before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it could, you know, cause different things like root rot, things like that. Yeah.
Too much.
So there's a lot to learn.
You know, okay, so you know what this reminds me of? To segue off real quick, then we'll get back to it.
Okay.
It reminds me of this hermit crab.
Oh my goodness.
Levi's grandparents got him a hermit crab.
Yes.
For his birthday one year we went to... Or maybe it was just a random thing.
Yeah.
We went to the beach, got a hermit crab. Took the hermit crab home, and I'm trying to figure out how to take care of it. Can I just keep it in this little box, you know, that you get at a tourist little trap site for like $5? You know, they give you a little case to put it in and the colorful rocks and a little home and all this. And colorful shells you get for them. So you get home, you look up how do you take care of a hermit crab. And you will drive yourself insane at this responsibility that you have just undertaken. Hermit crabs require so much. They require a spot to be heated in their cage.
Yeah.
They can't be in a plastic container. They can't have rocks of any kind. You have to get like, I think it was like cocoa soil or something like that. It was, it's soil. It's not just sand. It's soil that is so soft. But it feels like sand. It's ridiculous.
So high maintenance.
Yeah, very. You have to have a little bowl for fresh water and a bowl for salt water. And it's not just table salt you throw in there. You have to get special, you know, capsules of, you know, this water from the pet store. Their food has to be like, you know, it has to have vitamins in it. It has to be like crushed up worms or something. And then their shells have to be all natural. You can't get anything that is... colored or painted or anything. Those are all toxic.
Right.
So like, and then you go on YouTube, and don't go on YouTube, because everybody on YouTube has a video about how these hermit crabs should not be sold. They should be, they should remain in, you know, free in the wild. They should not be in captivity at all. And anyway, so that's what your story about the trauma that plants can go through kind of reminded. Like,
it's the
did
same
you
thing.
Know that you're going through all that you're going to have to deal with
exactly.
all this?
Exactly. And that's kind of how, almost how I feel with plants. It's not that crazy. And I actually like doing it. So it's another new hobby that I've picked up very recently. Yeah. But it's a lot to learn because every plant is different. I have 16 plants and they're all different. They all have different requirements. I mean, it's not that complicated, but it's a lot to YouTube.
A lot to YouTube. Yeah. Allison will stay up in the wee hours in the morning. Do you want to share how long you were up the other night?
Oh, yeah. I was
repotting
up until 6 a.m. I repotted 4 plants. I also did some other stuff. Like, I think I cooked something. And yeah, but I repotted 4 plants.
Wow. Just repotting. Yeah, that's wild. But I love that. And it feels like you're... I don't know. When I always think of plants, I always think of ferns. You know how, you know, people like, I guess like 20 years ago,
right,
had like a million ferns in their house and stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe that was trendy back then. I don't know.
I think it was, yeah.
Or if that was just a thing that certain people did.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until recently.
Yeah. Ferns like overgrown, like over the pots and all this stuff. It was, anyway, do you have any fake plants?
I do not. And I know that's a pet peeve of yours.
Yeah, I hate fake plants. And so my grandma, and I told Allison this, but my grandma, she has real plants and she has fake plants. And she always hates, you know, plant lovers, I guess, hate you touching their plants. But I always touched her plants because I always wondered if they were real or fake. Like, and anyway, so she didn't like that. And so I was like, well, I just was wondering. But anyway,
you couldn't just ask her. You had to go touch it yourself.
Well, like... yeah, because anyway, all right. So recently we, watched
what?
A certain series on Netflix.
Oh my goodness.
No, we watched Tiger King and most of you have probably watched it too.
Yeah.
Tiger King.
Don't lie.
Is one of the
you
most,
know you've seen it.
Is the weirdest show ever, but also the most entertaining.
So entertaining.
You will not gain any knowledge or education from this show other than the fact that there are more tigers in the United States than there are in the wild.
Yes.
There are more tigers in captivity in the United States than there are anywhere else in the world. And that is crazy. And so that's your only bit of knowledge that you're going to gain from this. The rest of it
about
is
the tigers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The rest of this is just going to be of this series is just
you'll learn a lot of other
odd, just so just, odd.
Just you just don't see it coming.
No.
Just when you think it can't get any weirder,
it gets
something else happens, and you're like, okay.
So like within the first minute, you're going to be hooked. Okay. If you let yourself watch the first minute of the first show, you are going to be hooked on it. And then you're going to be like 40 minutes gone by and you'll be like, oh, dang, I need more of this. This is like sugar.
Yeah. Great example.
Yeah. It's a great example because it's toxic.
It's very toxic.
But it is so entertaining. And we've seen so many funny memes as a result of this series. And
that's another thing I send you all day.
Yeah. If you're on social media, you've seen these memes. Okay. There's no denying it. But, and then you've probably not understood what these memes mean.
Right.
But they're so good. And just the name Carol Baskin is just a name that you're like, oh my gosh, who is this lady? Like, why is she free still? Why is this? And so you're either going to be on the board of Carol Baskins is guilty or she's innocent. And it's just, it's wild. It's a wild ride. And it does not slow down. And the fourth episode, there's 6 episodes of this, okay?
Or was it 7? Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, so, and then on the fourth episode, I felt like that was the craziest that it got.
Right.
The last couple episodes were just, they're good. You know, they're, I'm not taking anything away from those, but the fourth episode was like, I was not prepared for it. I mean, this is a homosexual man that is turned two straight guys into marrying
young
him.
Guys.
Yeah, two straight guys. Got these two straight guys. I mean, he was 50 years old at least, because he said he was 30 years older than them when he got married.
Right.
And they were 19, so he would have been at least 49 years old. Okay. So, 49-year-old man with a mullet, with a dyed mullet. He would dyed the top blonde. Marries two straight guys that are 19 years old.
Yeah.
At the same time. They're at the same wedding.
Wow.
It was
what drugs will do to you, man.
Yeah. They said one of the guys had perfect teeth, though. I couldn't tell that anything was wrong. But the other guy was clearly, they called what he has meth teeth.
Meth mouth.
Meth mouth. Okay, good. And so where your teeth fall out because of meth. And
right.
Yeah. This guy did the whole interview on this whole series without a shirt on. Like hairy chest, everything. Like no shirt. He was missing teeth. I mean, like he doesn't care, right? Yeah. He's
no shame.
Yeah, he didn't. And then at some point, he gets the secretary of the zoo pregnant, and then that's when it comes out. Like, oh wait, he wasn't gay. He was never gay.
Right.
And, oh, this is so crazy. And it's not all about gay. Don't think that. But it's really about these cat people, large cats, not just cat
big
people,
cats.
Just like big cats. Yeah,
yeah.
That's good. So Carol Baskin runs this. Oh my goodness. I don't even want to talk about this and get into it, because I'm just going to repeat what you've seen, or I'm going to. Yeah. Even if I said all of it,
spoilers.
Trust me, you're still going to want it. Like yeah. You're not going to watch anything else. If you're looking for something to watch, if you're bored,
go
Tiger
for
King,
it.
That's the way to go. This guy also ran for president, by the way.
He did. And
he was in polls.
Somehow like, we didn't know back then.
Yeah. Like, there's evidence, like everything. This is all real. This is real life. These are real people. And it's amazing that,
yeah,
that for, I think, 5 years, the guy was filming this over the course of 5 years.
Right.
And then, you know, recently released it. And you're like, and I didn't realize that it was over that course until, you know, after it was done. Cause I was thinking, oh, this is this, you know, when you're talking about movies or documentaries, it's usually like within the last 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
And then it gets edited and released. But this was over 5 years. This guy was like filming these people and doing interviews. And so they were telling you things that...
They got a lot of information.
Oh my goodness. Weren't holding back. They weren't... You know, you watch some documentaries and you're watching it and there's people are like clearly either withholding information that you find out later. You know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, why didn't they say that during the documentary, or why didn't they say that when they were being interviewed and all this? But these people don't care. They're like,
I mean, imagine how comfortable they got after 5 years.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they just got comfortable. Like, oh, this is just my life now.
Yeah.
I get filmed every day, so I'm just going to say whatever.
Yeah. I saw this one meme where it was like the most sane guy in this whole documentary was the guy with cartoon prosthetics on his legs.
Oh my goodness.
he had a prosthetic for each leg and there were cartoon drawings on it.
Right.
And it's like the most sane person in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wild thing. So if you haven't watch it for real. You're going to learn the name Tiger King, Joe Exotic, and
Carol Baskins.
Yeah. If you take nothing else from COVID-19, it has given us Tiger King.
Yes.
Yeah, but they've had like over 97 million people already watch it.
Wow.
Yeah. 97 million people.
That's crazy.
It's pretty wild. COVID-19, how are you dealing with it?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought you were talking to the audience.
How are you guys dealing with it? I'll wait for a response.
Yeah, more time for my hobbies, but yeah.
It's kind of... So, in all fairness to that question,
right.
It's a question that everybody's asking everybody right now. Like, what are you doing? Like, how's such and such going? And I know Levi just had a birthday this Friday. Yeah. And, you know, people who have birthdays, or we had friends that had a wedding date this Friday.
Yes.
And had to delay it because unforeseen things as a result of already were, you know, making a lot of sacrifices anyways, because mm-hmm. you could only let 10 people there. But anyway, it is one of those questions that everybody's in. So you kind of get tired answering the question.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with
it? It's kind of like hard to answer because, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. I know that they made a recent change to limit the amount of people going into Walmart. And so I'm a Walmart guy. You're a Target girl.
I am. And all so day.
She rarely goes to Walmart.
Right.
Just because she goes everywhere else. Anyway, so I'm going to Walmart like once, maybe twice a week. And now that this is all going, why are you laughing?
I was laughing because I was thinking that's nothing compared to my Target runs.
Oh, yeah. This chick will go to Target like every day. She'll go to Target twice a day.
Legit. Not even exaggerating. And that's sad, but yes.
Yeah. But she weighs so many options when she's going
that
she can't make a decision sometimes.
I'm very calculated, very indecisive, I think too much into it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. So... yeah, so Walmart's going to be limiting the amount of people going in as a result of COVID-19. Right. So like 5 people per 1,000 square feet or something. And I don't even know how much that equates to.
Yeah, I think I heard Target's going to do that soon too. Yeah,
I'm sure they will. They like, I remember when this all started and they started doing the 6 feet apart from everybody that Target had X's for the line.
They do.
Right? And everybody in the line abided by those X's. It was pretty great.
Right.
You go to Walmart, that did not happen. I went to Walmart immediately after because I had to get something else. And Walmart was just like free for all, like no kind of, there was like nothing.
I don't even see no X's.
Yeah. You know what you're getting. Don't lie to yourself. Let's not lie to each other. So, yeah, I go in there and it was so funny, but now they're Do you have something to say? I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say I actually went to Target today,
mm-hmm.
and
of course,
yes, and it's so true. Like everyone there was keeping their distance, and they all, like pretty much all of them, except for a few of us, had masks on.
Wow.
They all had masks on. Some of them had gloves, and they were all keeping their distance.
Yeah.
It's so different, the different stores you go into.
Yeah. So as a nurse, you know, what's been, the impact for you,
right?
Is there anything you want to talk about or can talk? I don't even know if you can. You can't talk about patients or anything, but
no, I can't. But I mean, I think I could say things that people already know,
yeah,
or that they could find out easily. But,
okay, let's ask this interesting question,
right?
Whose fault is coronavirus?
Carol Baskin's.
It sounded like I was laying you up for that one, but I really wasn't.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that was better than the answer that I was thinking you would say. But So COVID-19 is pretty crazy, though. And I cut you off there with that question. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yeah. So it's definitely changed the hospitals. It's mm-hmm. it's so different working in a hospital now than it was before. And you know, I'm thankful for, you know, still having my job for now and all that. I mean,
yeah,
who knows what's gonna happen in the future and whatever.
So
but
go ahead.
Yeah, it's just different.
So with COVID-19, I know you can't talk about patients and things like that. Just that's a law. But
right.
What about the nurses there?
How are they handling it?
Yeah, handling it. Because we live in an area that's not considered a hot spot, right?
Right.
Even though in your hospital, I know there are confirmed cases of COVID-19.
Right.
But what I've been gathering is that there are many... there should be many more, but there are not tests being done. And so with that being the case, as a nurse who understandably isn't in a what they consider a hotspot area,
yeah,
how is that impacting you and other nurses? Like, what are you What are you gleaming? How are people reacting, or how do people feel about it? Do they feel like in jeopardy, even though we're not considered a hot spot? Or
I think a lot of people do feel in jeopardy, and then maybe others don't show it as much, of course.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all have to take the precautions, everyone who works there.
Yeah. So you guys wash your hands.
We wear masks.
You wear masks.
We wear the same mask all day.
Is it a N95?
Yes. You said it right this time.
N95. Coming to ya.
Yeah.
At some point in the future, when you least need it, you'll be getting more. So you guys, do you guys have a shortage that you know about?
Of masks?
Yeah. Is that what you said? You use the same one?
Yeah, I think everywhere has a shortage.
Okay. Wow. Do you know how many your hospital has?
I do not.
No, you're not able to speak on behalf of your hospital.
I'm not sure.
You know,
I don't
much...
get that kind of clearance.
You know how many you've been given? Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy. The same mask. Well, this has been Keeping It Raw. Thanks for listening to the show. Thank you, Allison, for joining me today. And you guys have a sane trip out there. Stay sane.